Okay, so today is March 7th, 2016. This is the October Life Coach Training Cohort, Call 3 with Martha. And I'm just going to do one more thing, and I'm going to, suddenly I don't seem to have that option on my screen. Another thing has gone away in the world of electronic confusion. I can't seem to mute everyone out. So if you guys are doing anything along the lines of munching on food, having a barking dog or a baby in the background or shuffling papers, just hit 4-star to mute yourselves out, and we'll hope for the best in terms of call recording. So, all right, so with all that said, hi. I guess we're good for the
month. Hi. Yeah, you may hear dogs barking, bears roaring, any sort of thing coming from the wilderness here. So, yes, we will all mute ourselves out in a symbolic act of self-sacrifice. So where are you, Chris? I just got on the phone. I'm like so hammered. I'm just like, hi, everybody. How you doing? Where are you,
well,
seriously?
Seriously, physically, I am located in Charlotte, North Carolina at the moment, and I'm looking out onto the pond, and there's bluebirds sitting on the nesting box, and there's all kinds of stuff going on at the feeder. It's a quiet, sunny, beautiful day here. So,
I've got all the calmness
that you guys don't have, apparently. Uh-oh. Did we just lose? Can anybody else hear me?
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
All right. So Martha seems to have fallen away. I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of technological things going on today. It's very strange. But what I am going to do is mute
everybody
out.
Conference muted.
Because suddenly I was able to find that feature. It literally disappeared on my control screen and came back. So I think we're going to have a bit of a mysterious little call today with all kinds of little adventures. Ay, ay, ay. All right. Martha has the code, so she knows what to do. I'm hoping the juice hasn't gone out on her phone. There she is.
Good Lord. I blame Mercury. You'd think I would be really into astrology. I'm not, but I can tell something is retrograde, and it's not just my uterus.
I think there is something retrograde going on, actually. I just looked at a horoscope the other day, and there was something about Mars in retrograde in my chart, whatever the hell that means.
I think you just said horror, like horror scope. All right, let's get this show on the road. It's 5 after.
And I got everybody muted out, too. Suddenly that button appeared again. Go figure.
Oh, that is, we can hope for the best then. Okay, let's get going because, this could, the boom could fall at any moment. Okay, so today is the spirituality inspiration call, I've been told. And we got some wonderful questions. And also, there aren't that many questions, so if people want to get on and do some coaching, that would be really fun too, because that sounds paradoxical a little bit, because coaching sounds so secular, and it is, but the interesting thing is if you use the coaching tools as taught, or at least my experience is, if you use them as taught, you start to have experiences that are more, are less material and secular in nature. So I was, Chris, I know a cohort of master coaches. Did you go through with Martha Jo Atkins?
No.
So Martha Jo Atkins is our wonderful master coach who deals with a lot with death and dying. And one year after the coaches had been through, so they went through all the training you guys have had, and then they do another really intense year. And then we have this sort of feast at the end. And we were having our feast with Martha Jo Atkins and her group, and we were going around the table talking about their experiences in the Master Coach training. And we get to Martha Jo, and she starts talking, and then she just bursts into tears, and she says, is anyone here experiencing, like, massive amounts of spiritual guidance and miraculous, you know, experiences? Everybody at the table raises their hand. So what happens is if you dig deep enough into your truth, like if you do the Byron Katie work sincerely and you really wait to figure out what is true for you, you start to have experiences that don't fit into the Newtonian scientific paradigm. The Newtonian paradigm, of course, is that we're all just separate little billiard balls knocking around in an empty universe. And more importantly, that consciousness is an artifact of matter. In other words, matter is the cause of everything. Nobody knows where it comes from in the Newtonian universe, but there it is. And if you get the right amount of matter put together in a human brain, consciousness arises as a sort of byproduct. But that is actually not the way modern physics looks at the world at all. In modern physics, matter is an artifact of consciousness. So consciousness is the pre-existing entity, and it is consciousness that produces matter, not the other way around. If you do enough truth-seeking, and if you start to get very quiet inside, and if you meditate, this starts to pop like one of those optical illusions where you don't see, like those posters, they used to be really popular, that where it just looked like a lot of noise on a piece of paper, and then if you looked in a certain way, a picture would pop out of it. Did you ever do one of those, Chris?
Uh-huh.
Used to make my head ache horribly, but I could make it do that. And after you've done enough of the coaching tools the way they are, suddenly the world will pop into a different focus, and you're like, holy crap, matter is an artifact of consciousness, not the other way around, or whatever, words to that effect. It basically is the matrix. Everything you're seeing is coded and created like a video game by something that is more real than this world. And it's not something that you think of, it's something you experience. And it's been described in every culture, but all the literate cultures where people wrote things down and kept notes, certain people describe having this experience. So that tends to happen when you do enough life coaching, but you don't have to. You can stay comfortable and tidy in our secular material worldview and still have a lot of really positive effects on everyone and have a wonderful career and all that. But you just may start stumbling over things that can only be called spiritual. Well, they can be called many things. I can call them spiritual. So today I wanted to talk to you about some of those. If you've been reading the book I just wrote, you know I've gone way, way off the beaten path, and we'll call it fiction. But really, it's the way my mind works. So yes, I do sort of have, I don't actually have a flying wild boar that talks to me, but I have an imaginary flying wild boar that talks to me and gives me super good information. So we'll talk a little bit about things like that as we go along. But I don't want to offend anybody's belief system, so just take what works for you and spit out the rest. So I have these questions here, and I'm going to start with one that is less on that theme because I just thought we could just address this. Laura wrote that some coaches especially could use personality tests such as Myers-Briggs. She says, I'm curious to know your thoughts on lumping people into defined archetypes, especially in life coaching versus career coaching. Well, basically, as far as I'm concerned, all roads lead. If anything resonates inside someone, if it makes the compass point north, you go toward it. But there's something in Buddhism chains. And that is a reference to things that you recognize as deeply true and important at one point in your life, which if you cling to them, become imprisoning. So, for example, you may fall madly in love with a person who really causes you to have vast increases in your ability to love and know and experience life. And 10 years later, that relationship is not working anymore. And it's not because you made a bad decision. It's because everything is always flowing. And nothing's ever separate, so there's no, the attachment to it, what I love has to look a certain way. That's one of the things that you inevitably have to let go of if you want to be happy, because everything is always changing. So Myers-Briggs personality tests and the Enneagram and all those things are wonderful and great if they resonate and as long as they resonate. And as soon as they start to feel entrapping, then you need to let go of them. They're a golden chain. And the way you know is by a resonance within consciousness, within your sense of being and self. And that is the only thing that this system of coaching keeps going back to, is does it set you free or does it feel like it's choking you, imprisoning you? Truth sets you free, so go with it. It's that simple. And sometimes you may feel like really strongly compelled to like, oh, I really want to use the Myers-Briggs on this person. Go for it. Just don't get stuck on it forever. It's the compass in you that needs to be consulted over and over. No external tool whatsoever, including the tools that you learned in this training, is nearly as important as your own resonance with what feels right to you at the moment and what feels right for the client at the moment. It always comes from within. It is never an external system that we rest on entirely. And by the way, this is why people start to have non-materialist experiences. That part of you that knows is very fancy. It's very, very fancy, and it does magical tricks. Okay, so that's that. And then let's see. Let me ask. The same answer goes for Bridget's question. She says, as we move through our training and our toolboxes are growing, I'm not sure which tool to pull out when I'm working with a client. Byron Katie's work is powerful, but so are the other tools that we've learned and are being introduced to with the dream analysis work. What is your advice on how to administer our best tools for our clients' needs? Again, check the compass, check the compass, check the compass. You know how when you're cooking, I went to Thanksgiving dinner with some friends at Harvard, and one of us was from India and had had like multitudinous servants her entire life. And we all set about making Thanksgiving dinner, and this woman who was brilliant and very highly educated was completely stumped by things like, how do you crack an egg? Like, there it sits. I have no idea what to do with it. I could smash it, but that doesn't seem right. The whole idea of like tapping it on something, she'd never seen this done. So she was just kind of clueless. And we had like another thing we had to teach her was how to stir. Here's how you stir something in a bowl. And she was like, wow, this is so trippy. So we all, have probably had enough familiarity with food and how to cook it that if we go to make breakfast, we just make breakfast. And if you want French toast and you know how to make French toast, that's one thing. If you're making eggs, you do a different set of skills, and it's just based on what you want to eat. So in this case, this woman knew what she wanted. You know, she was helping make, I don't know, the pie or something. And she had to be taught every single tool that was necessary for making a pie. And it turns out there are a lot of skills that go into making a pie. Most of us just know them. If you get the tools integrated into your way of thinking and processing for yourself, if you self-coach enough, you learn all the skills of making a pie in a coaching sense. And if somebody wants toast, you know how to work the toaster. And if somebody wants eggs, you know how to crack an egg. And that really comes with practicing on yourself so that the tools become intrinsic to you. And they're not complex. The dream analysis and the Byron Katie work are by far the most complex. And, oh, hell, I'm still practicing with those. But, you know, you do it on yourself a few dozen times. You'll pretty much get it down. And then you just flow with needs are. I mean, I try to get really quiet, and I sort of feel in my chest the mood of the client, and sometimes I get all kinds of like interesting psychic flashes and things, and I can kind of feel which tool to reach for. If they've told me about a big nightmare that they had, obviously I'll go with dream analysis. If they are really stuck on one particular thought, we may do the Byron Katie work. But if they're in a panic and just spinning, all they can get to is, tell me about that, say more. And they have to just keep spinning, sometimes for many sessions before you even need another tool besides say more. Chris, do you have any insights on this?
I would totally agree with that. And it's so funny because this question came up in the January cohort. I was teaching them the other day, and they were just finishing up with Coach the Coach 1 and going into Coach the Coach 2. And you guys are on Coach the Coach 3 right now, so you may not even remember. But all they've learned at that point is say more, hat, body compass, the five whys. And you know what? You can go through almost a lifetime of coaching just using those tools. But
Absolutely. They
were concerned about what do I pull out when? And this is a question that gets asked a lot. And to Martha's point, it really becomes about intuition. It becomes about the more present you become with yourself using all these tools. And, you know, that's why we always say live it to give it. It's one of our values. You know, you're always your first client. And so if you use those tools on yourself and you start to notice situations where people are talking to you, you start to realize, oh, well, wow, this feels like there's an image that's coming up in me. Maybe metaphor would work, which is what you're going to learn next week. Or as Martha said, if a client's just spinning, there's no, oh, my gosh, what tool should I pull out to make them better? You know, that's not what goes on. It's just I need to become even more still and more present and more calm to hold a space for this client so they can feel what they need to feel and come out on the other side of it with a little more peace. And so it's all in the doing, you guys. It's all in the practice. It's all in the stillness and the presence, really getting to know and understand yourselves and then just using what worked with you on them. And I can tell you, I have a silly little story here, but I was working in Manhattan right when Martha and I went through the training with Martha, and it was probably like a month later, and I had this three-ring binder, this big honking three-ring binder with plastic pages protectors in it. So like the paper was stuck inside plastic pages so I could flip through them really fast if I wanted to refer to a tool because I was going to be organized, God damn it. That's how I was going to do it. And I was meeting a client. This was when I was still practicing. I wasn't even charging. And I was meeting them in a coffee shop in New York, and it was a rainy day. And I walked into the coffee shop. I could see them way down at the end. It was one of those long, narrow spaces. And I tripped on the mat that they had put out for so people wouldn't trip, you know, with wet, slippery feet and drippy umbrellas and stuff. And my binder went flying. I didn't, luckily, but my binder went flying, cracked open. And all those slippery pages, they slipped throughout, like they just skidded down the floor of this coffee shop. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm never going to be able to coach this person. I won't know what tools are in what order. Well, if that wasn't the biggest sign from the universe, I don't know what was, because it was the first time that I stopped using my binder. And it was the best coaching session at that point I had ever had, because suddenly none of that crap mattered.
Yeah.
I just sat there with the client and went, well, that was interesting, wasn't it? Because, of course, she'd seen it all happen. And
right.
I just sat there and we just connected on a different level because I was willing to laugh at myself and with her. And that set this mood of just total comfort. Like, okay, so tell me what's crappy in your day. We know what's been crappy in mine, you know, and it just rolled from there.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, it's kind of like let go of the binder, let go of the trappings, let go of having to find the best tool and just trust that something will arise. And if it's not the quote-unquote right tool, oh, well, now you know. Try something else.
Right. And you can do all of this right in front of people. You're like, I'm going to try this tool on you. I'm not sure it'll work, but you want to play with me, and if it doesn't work, we'll use another one. And they
appreciate that honesty, you know.
Yeah. Has anybody, you can't really answer, but Chris, have you seen the new Star Wars movie?
I'm sorry to confess that I haven't yet.
miscreant. It's very much kind of a remake of the very first Star Wars, which I love, and only it's got a woman as the main, a girl really, as the main character. And there's this great scene. Don't want to spoil it for you guys, but I don't think it will because it's just a good moment. The force is strong with her, but she doesn't know anything about it. She's heard the phrase, but she's received no training whatsoever. And she just happens to have a lot of gifts in that direction. And there's a scene where she's fighting, and she's a good fighter, but she's up against the arch-villain. And she's fighting in like an earthquake on a cliff, and she's getting pushed back toward the edge of the cliff, and she's fighting, but she's not really holding her own. And then she remembers someone saying something about the Force, and there's this great moment where she's in the middle of being, you know, brutally attacked, and her face just goes completely slack. Like, she just goes still. And her weapon drops for a second while she adjusts and moves from her own strength into the Force. And then she comes back and it's the Force fighting, not her. And it's awesome. For my money, it's even better than the scene in the first one where he goes, "Trust the Force, Luke," and he puts away his instruments and flies by feel. And that really, really, the reason those movies work for people is that we do that. We just don't know that that's what we're doing. When it really works, when anything really works, is because we've been trained and we've practiced, and then we let go and trust the Force. And you need the part where you're slaving and hammering it into your head and doing it wrong and then getting corrected and doing it right. You need that. And then when push comes to shove, you just relax. And all your training will kick in, and then the Force is coaching for you. And those are magical moments. Those are the times when, you know, suddenly, more times than I can count, I've said, let's use an example. Like, let's say you just wanted to, like, go down in one of those really deep submarines and play ping pong at the bottom of the ocean. And they're like, oh, my God, I had a dream about that last night. You know, it's so weird synchronicities and things start to happen. And you just relax and let it flow. And that, too, actually, is a skill, to learn to let it flow. So just let us tell you from this side of the trenches that it happens. And what Chris said is absolutely true. You are your own first client. Okay, so I wanted to coach one of y'all, for this next question, Nicole. She wrote, Nicole, if you're there, what did she press to raise her hand?
Five star.
Okay. Depends on the system. Five star. So, Nicole Slattery, if you are here, press five star. And I will read her question while she's figuring that out. It says, given that if we want to feel content and attract good things in our life, we must think happy and content thoughts, what do we do when we truly feel down for a whole day? As an example, if our business is doing poorly, we feel down about it for more than just 20 minutes. According to ACT, we want to honor our true feelings and not pretend to feel something we don't. Yet if we stay in this bad thought place, we attract more negativity in our lives. How do we balance being authentic with what we feel, but also manage our energy vibration to not attract more negativity? Such a very, very good question if you're into that whole attraction thing. I am into the whole attraction thing, but there's a really, really important distinction, and that is it's in Steering by Starlight. It's in my latest book. It's the difference between your meat self and your meta self, meta meaning other, or something beyond. And your meat self is your sort of body, mind, the part of you that identifies as a little physical, conscious, naked ape. And that part of you has some power to attract things with its thoughts. Mainly it goes and gets things. Like, you will think, I would love an apple, and your meat self can go to the fridge or go to the store and get an apple and eat it. That is the power of the meat self. The meta self, the not physical self, can actually imagine things into being in a much grander way. So both those things are occurring all the time. The problem with most of the New Age stuff is that it never leaves the meat self. It just says if you sit in a chair, grit your teeth, and think happy thoughts all the time, only good things will happen to you. And that, in my experience, is not true. So there's a difference between the part of you that's attracting things and the part of you that's experiencing your day-to-day life. And if you can distinguish between those two, then you can get really good at the whole attracting stuff into your life. But if you mix it up and you think it's just the meat self, like in the book The Secret, she doesn't make that distinction at all. And in a lot of the New Age stuff, it doesn't make that distinction. And so it just plain doesn't work. You may feel better because you're thinking happy thoughts, but generally my experience is it just backfires. If you try to think happy thoughts when you're getting distressed, it becomes a repression, which can create a backlash. And for me, it's like I get kind of manic for a few days, and then I go into a spiraling death circle. and go into a depression. This is years ago. I haven't done this for a while, not since I figured it out. But I'm thinking that this is a good distinction to make, particularly in this call. So has Nicole raised her hand?
Yes.
Yes. I am.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Here for you. Great. Very good. And yourself?
I am well, sitting here on this million-year-old rotary phone on a ranch with no power.
Love it.
Where I literally had to heat my bath water on the stove today. So life is good. So I love this question. I think it's really important. And I wanted to ask you, have you been – you sound like somebody who's a fan of the I will attract happy things, that whole belief set and philosophy. Is that fair to say?
I am a fan, but I have thought about it much more in that I've been in the Facebook online community with learning from other life coaches, and a lot of life coaches market their materials with a sense of this is, you know, a sense of ease, and this is all very easy if you, you know, attract the right feelings and you use the law of attraction. And they definitely, you know, speak to the need to take action, but there's so much marketing I see around the simplicity of just feeling good and then, you know, kind of acting as if and then seeing the results come through. And in my life, it's definitely been a blend, and I sometimes grow frustrated when I see all the marketing around that, and I put so much work into it, and I, you know, all of a sudden there's all the, you know, I'm competing with people who are doing all the smoke and mirrors stuff.
Yep. So hang on, I'm writing this down. I love that sentence. I'm competing with people who are doing smoke and mirrors. Okay. I just want to. That untickled my fancy, so I'm going to put it down.
Yeah.
Okay. So I love what Wayne Dyer said about this. He says, we don't actually attract what we think. We attract what we are.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment you think, okay, I've got to be happy, and if I'm not happy enough, I will not attract good things. And by the way, this doesn't feel right to me because – all this stuff about ease is really nice. There are a lot of people just lying around who are not doing anything hard and yet not manifesting magnificent things.
Yeah.
The whole thing just feels a little off. But I'm going to think positively on the bet that they're right. What you're actually attracting is this mess of, I doubt that, but I'm going to try to force myself to believe it, and I see things that are evidence to the contrary, but I'm going to force myself to, you know, I'm going to create torturous explanations that fit this philosophy because I want it to work. It's just a mess, right? Tell me where I'm wrong.
No, it is.
And
I
this know. Is why I became so obsessed with my integrity cleanse, because this is what I've experienced. You get sort of an entryway into that way of creating things when you are absolutely and completely honest with yourself. So the truth really does set you free. So I wanted to show you guys how this works by coaching Nicole the way I coach myself. I don't usually teach this because it is on the spiritual side in a material culture, but since that's the topic of the call, here we go. Okay, so Nicole, the first thing you do, if you want to do the magic of attraction, is You breathe evenly, breathe deeply. You might be a little bit, your adrenaline might be up because you're on the public call. So you have to still yourself first. You have to get very quiet as possible. Yeah. And this doesn't mean that you have to be calm. It means that you have to notice if you're not calm. You don't force a feeling state. You can't force a feeling state.
Yeah.
All you can do is either pretend it isn't what it is, or let it be what it is. So if you let your feelings be as they are right now, what are you feeling?
I'm feeling a little tension in my chest, and I'm also feeling a sense of complete curiosity and excitement too. So it's a blend of tension and curiosity.
Okay, so let the tension sort of rise up and be relaxed with it and start poking around. What is the tension about?
There is some tension from just being open with my story, but there's also a tension of wanting to act in 100 different ways, but not knowing what action is the best to have a return on my efforts that I feel satisfied with.
Okay, not knowing which action is best. Hang on. Okay. To get a return on my efforts. I love that. Have a return on my efforts. It's like an investment. I once thought we could do an attention investment portfolio, just like you do, rich people do, you know, stock portfolios or whatever, because that's actually where you are creating value is in your attention. So nicely phrased, you're going to get a return on your investment of time and energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're curious about that. So there's tension around that. That is, and then I said, what did you feel? And what you're telling me is the factual content of your mind. I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
There may be 100 things to do. But tension isn't just a question of the mind. Tension is an emotional sensation or a physical sensation. And you've talked about physical and you've talked about mental. I haven't heard what your emotional state is very clearly. You've said tension.
Mm-hmm.
Is it more mad, sad, glad, or scared? The four categories. We can rule out glad. It's not.
It's a little. There's an element of glad, but it's kind of like my upper mind is telling me I'm glad for this opportunity. My lower mind's mad in that I can't figure the puzzle out.
There we go. That sounds honest. And really, right until now, it felt to me a little bit, and I feel this with so many great coaches because coaches tend to be so positive. But I could feel you avoiding telling me about your negative emotions, maybe avoiding telling yourself about your negative emotions or emotions we would see as negative. I don't see them as negative, but it's infuriating to have people tell you, oh, it's all so easy, and look, people are coming to me in droves to learn the ease of creating with your imagination. It's just no problem. And you're like, no, what are you talking about? You're not doing anything. It's the emperor's new clothes, right?
Yes.
Okay, so when you get to the point where you say, I am pissed off that these people have these slick sounding solutions and it doesn't feel right to me. And it feels to me like they're just, you know, blowing a lot of hot air and it's frustrating and I don't trust it. Now, I'm going on and on saying things, trying to approximate your state of feeling, so you tell me where I'm wrong.
No, that's true. And the only add-in is I do believe there's an element of truth to what they have to say, but it frustrates me, like you just said, that they're selling this as such a tool of ease when I feel in my heart there's just equal of a need of some hard work there.
Yeah, my experience is that it's not as much hard work, it's skill. You know, when a pianist is playing, when my daughter plays Chopin, it's no problem for her, it's easy, breezy for her, but my goodness, is she skilled. You know, you don't get that skill without practice and without attention and repetition and all the things that she's put into learning to play the piano, right? So I'm going to tell you a story, you guys, a story, and you may think I'm completely off my rocker, but this actually did happen. There was a point where I wanted to play music into my computer, like on a keyboard, and have it create written music. And I wanted this very much at the time. It was a particular little obsession of mine. And so I researched online the best keyboards for doing this. And you can get these keyboards that you plug into your computer and you just play the music and it shows up written on staff paper and everything. So I was all excited. There was one that was recommended very highly and it was like $500. And there were others that were rated not as well, but they were much more expensive. And I thought, that's so cool. I can get this cheap thing that works really well. So I got this keyboard. I was all excited. I opened it, and I realized why it did not get well rated except by professionals, because it had like 1,000 buttons, and none of them were labeled at all. Like, I couldn't even find the power button. And so I was like, okay. But I had felt so inspired to buy this, right? So I managed to get it plugged into my computer. I managed to get it turned on. And it might as well have been a log of wood. I mean, there was nothing was coming up except like a weird little patch of HTML code on my computer that even acknowledged this keyboard was in existence. And I was really, really, I tried to be so patient, and I worked with it for a long time. I was pushing every button. I was trying to be childlike and playful in my exploration of it, and it just wasn't working. So when that happens to me with computers, I tend to get angrier and angrier and angrier. And I got to a place of extreme rage. And then I had to go pick up my son from his job at this elder care center. And I was driving over there, and I stopped at a stoplight, and I just had a tantrum. I was like, why did I feel so inspired to buy this stupid thing, and I can't even use it, and there's no way to turn it on, and this is just driving me crazy. I've lost a whole day, and I'm $500, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like yelling and screaming in my car. And then I go to pick up Adam, and you just don't take that energy into Adam's space. He's very calm, but you just don't want to bring negative energy into his space. He's such a clear energy. So before he got in the car, I calmed myself down. I detached from the whole thing. We had a nice little conversation driving home. And then I went up to my computer room. Now, this is where we start to, leave the reservation. Occasionally, when I'm, writing a book or writing in my journal or something longhand, the force takes over. And my hand starts tugging like a magnet near a fridge. And if I let it go, it will start to write things. And I fought this for a couple of years. I thought, this is really strange. And then one day I just thought, oh, I'll let it do it. And my hand just started making these really scribbly motions, just really, really rapidly across the page. And it was just loops and bumps, and it wasn't anything. I thought, okay, so maybe I have a nervous condition, and that was weird. And later that day, I picked up the piece of paper that I'd been writing on, and I picked it up at an angle. And all the loops and whorls, when seen in really foreshortened perspective, showed up as writing. And what was written there was, "We are very happy to be communicating with you in this way." And I was like, what? If you've heard of Esther Hicks, she used to meditate and her head would move in the air, and she finally realized it was spelling things with her nose. So she did all this stuff. And what was coming through were these loving and supportive guides who wanted to help her with her life. And now she travels the country and channels this entity and whatever. Anyway, so then I, when this happened, I was like, well, I'm going to see what's up. So I started letting it happen. And it did things like correctly diagnosing a friend who had a malignant tumor, you know, saying exactly what would happen to him and that he wouldn't even need radiation. I mean, it I started being able to get like really good information from this particular weird source. So I come back from getting my son. This story does have a point, you guys. And I sit down and I say, okay, I want to make this keyboard work. And instead of the usual looping, what I got was my hand started to make perfect straight lines and right angles all over the page, slowly. Just lines and angles. And finally, after about 5 minutes, I was like, this is really nice, but what? Why? And my hand stops, and then it writes in block letters very carefully, my name is Peter, I'm here to help. And I was like, okay. And I wrote, do you know HTML, which is the code language on the computer. And then my hand starts making right angles again, me, for like 30 seconds, and then it writes, I do now. And then I went to my computer, and there was this little patch of HTML that popped up on my screen, and I wrote a patch of code. You know, with all the, if you've done HTML, it has all these weird characters, slashes and stuff. It makes no, there's no user friendliness whatsoever. And I don't really know HTML code at all. I'd sort of done a little of it. And I pressed enter, and the keyboard interfaced with my computer, and I could use it. So that's how weird this stuff can get, you guys. But here's my point. I said to whatever this was, I was not positive about this. I threw a freaking tantrum. I was screaming like a two-year-old in my parked car. I was, like, ready to throw things. I was not in a happy place of positive attraction. And the answer I got was, you don't understand. Your whole existence is meant to inspire very intense emotions. And emotion is to the force, you know, is basically to the spiritual reality, a kind of energy that, of which things are made, much more than mental thoughts. It's our emotion, our intense, genuine feeling that calls things into being. You can't force that. It comes from within you, and it comes from your experience as a human being in this particular reality. And humans are this incredibly rich source of intense emotion. And it said all you have to do is feel the truth of your emotion, express it, and then let go and become calm. If you do that, the more intense the emotion, if you can let go completely of needing the result, the more power you have to act. And therefore, your negative emotions are usually more powerful than your positive ones. Is this making any sense, Nicole?
Yeah, it totally is. Because I feel like the more I bundle this madness and don't really express it in fake positivity, it's like the more it depletes my energy to just get on with the action I need to do and see if that works. And then if that doesn't, do something else instead of staying in the complexity of the emotion and not unwinding it.
Okay, so this is great because you're having the two responses that our culture gives us. Number one is to control your emotion and make it work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is to just physically do something for God's sake. You know, physically or mentally do something. What I'm talking about is a third option. And that is that, and here's how you do it. I have a new acronym for you guys. Have you heard the word ilk? Like, they are of my ilk. Have you heard that word?
Mm-hmm.
It means type or kind. Like, I have two golden retrievers. They are of the same ilk. Or you are of the same ilk as a golden retriever. You are sweet and furry. Ilk means type. But for me, it stands for integrity and loving kindness. And if you can sit with incredible integrity and allow every emotion, so for you it would be this frustration and also the desire to make this work and maybe a sense that at some level it feels like it should work, and then confusion because it doesn't really work. And so if you can just like be with all of that, and not fight it at all. The integrity means you accept what is real for you. You don't try to force it. You don't try to hide it. You accept what is really happening inside you. And then you address it with loving kindness. So, for example, when I sat down, I got up after having this hellish two-day trip back from New York with everything, including a dead bird in the engine of the airplane. And so I got up this morning and I didn't feel, and the power was out and I didn't have, you know, there's only one phone on the ranch that works without the power, and people are running around trying to get the generators started, and it was just, you know, it was Armageddon. So to get ready for this call, what I had to do was sit, and I only had like 10 minutes. Usually I take an hour. I sat and I got really quiet, and I let myself feel exhausted. I let myself feel anxious. I let myself feel nervous, angry, everything I was feeling. And instead of fighting it or pretending it wasn't there or running around trying to do something to fix it, I said to myself very deliberately, I understand how you're feeling, and I love you. It's going to be okay. We've done things like this before together, and those coaches are such an amazing group, and they roll with almost everything that happens, and we are so incredibly blessed to be in the midst of such people. If you've read my latest book, The Magic Pig That Shows Up, that's the voice that comes into my head and teaches me. It's this incredibly loving, gentle being. And I felt myself start to calm down. Now, without even trying, as I calmed down, all the negative emotions and positive emotions that I brought to today begin to pull in what I need. Does this make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you right now can see the whole, like put the good, the bad, and the ugly out there, write it all in a notebook, everything you're... And all you have to do at that point is then become very, very loving and kind to yourself, to yourself. Loving kindness to others is a natural consequence of loving kindness to self. And actually, it cannot exist without loving kindness to self. So, Nicole, you've got this issue you've been grappling with a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You put out all your feelings yet? Is there anything hiding in the corners that we haven't talked about? You said if our business is doing poorly, we may feel down about it for more than just 20 minutes. Okay. Is your business doing as well as you want?
No.
Yeah, because otherwise you wouldn't have asked this question, right?
Yeah.
You would have been like, yeah, law of attraction works and everything is fabulous and I have my own private island. Yeah. So that can be, let's talk about the emotions. Discouragement.
Yeah.
Is it discouraging?
It's discouraging and sometimes confusing because there's a feeling of, it's kind of that return on effort piece. It's, okay, how many miles do I run before I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to run down this different track. And
okay, so you've switched again, dear, from talking about your feelings to talking about your thoughts. So what I'm hearing is exhaustion, discouragement, exhaustion, frustration, disappointment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What else? Fear of the future?
Yes. Yeah, fear of the future. Mm-hmm.
So there's anger about it not being as easy as everyone glibly says, and there's fear of the future,
mm-hmm.
and there's sadness, disappointment that it's not working the way you want it to right now, and there's probably some gladness too. So I'm going back, you guys, to the four categories of emotions: sad, glad, mad, and scared. Nicole's probably got bits of all of those going right now.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the question. You've talked about, I can't have bad thoughts, and I have to, make it till I make it. And how do those feel?
Yeah.
How do those feel inside? Does it feel like freedom or does it feel like entrapment?
It feels like entrapment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So you can.
Mm-hmm.
So as we bring in loving kindness, so you put all your feelings out there, and my sense of you in this, in the long time we've spent together, is that you dodge negative feelings and situations with your mind, that you're not mm-hmm. really comfortable roasting in them.
mm-hmm.
Tell me where I'm wrong.
Nope, that's true.
Which is wonderful, but a strength exaggerated can become a weakness, always becomes a weakness. So you've talked a lot about return on investment, and it feels very like proactive and American dream mm-hmm. and all that. But I'd like you to just allow the exhaustion, the frustration, the anger, the disappointment to have its fair share. Bring it out and mm-hmm. know that it is telling you the truth. It is keeping
yeah.
you from swallowing the happy pills that people give you and charge you for, even though they don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Let yourself be suspicious of those people. Let yourself be disappointed that their methods, which sound so easy, don't work the way they say they're supposed to. Let yourself have everything and realize how wise your emotions are and that
mm-hmm.
each of these negative things is teaching you something wise.
Mm-hmm.
And then also feel the fear and the unsatisfied needs and wants that are still driving you to do all this seeking and trying. Can you feel all those?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the kindest thing you could possibly say to this person who's feeling all these things?
Mm.
Pretend now that you are a spirit guide or a spirit pig or whatever.
Yeah.
Be the pig. Be the pig. What would you say to Nicole, who's sitting there, tired, disappointed, slightly afraid, disillusioned? What would you say to her? Out of your heart, not out of some...
Yeah.
What would you say?
I'd say you're already successful. You've already met so many dreams and reached so many things. You are just who you are is successful. You don't need to try so hard. There's so much...
Yeah, and you notice how tell me one thing you've done in your life that is... that brings joy and success, feelings of joy and success, because that seems to be where the pig is going.
mm-hmm.
You can't fake this, you guys. It's integrity and loving kindness. It is not fakery. It is not a formula from somebody's self-help book, including mine. It is integrity and loving kindness, and those come from the deepest place inside you. So from there, Nicole,
mm-hmm.
talk to me about your success.
I have been very successful learning and teaching others. I have been a very good student and also guide to others in reaching their goals, and have helped many people. And also,
tell me about one of them, because we're still in thinking. Now we're in thinking mode again, but I want you to think of a time where
mm-hmm.
you knew something, you'd done something well, and it was helping someone, and it felt amazing.
I just last week helped somebody break through some really terrible thoughts they had about their own self-body image and have some new breakthrough thoughts into how to perceive themselves in a new way.
This is wonderful. If you... are really honest about your feelings, and then you become that loving, that essence of loving kindness, which is your true self.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is you start reliving scenes of times that were beautiful. At least this is what happens
mm-hmm.
for me. So as you go into that memory of being with that person and helping with the body image and watching the
mm-hmm.
breakthrough, do you notice how the emotions shift really deeply inside you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're just there. There's love for the client. There's love for yourself. There's love for the process. And it's real. This really happened to you. This is real feeling.
Mm-hmm.
The love you're feeling now is a real feeling. You are now imagining with the meta self. You are now creating and formatting the world. You are now consciousness manifesting matter. It's real.
That makes sense.
So you said at the end of your question, how do we balance being authentic with what we feel but also manage our energy vibration to not attract more negativity? It's wonderful that we have negative emotions. The power of that at a spiritual level is unparalleled. But if we fight our own emotions and our truth, all of that magic can't access us. It still goes out into the world. It still has its powerful positive effect, but it doesn't always reach us. The way you balance it is that you feel everything you're feeling, and then you address everything you're really feeling with genuine love and kindness. And that begins to move your inner world into things like memories of success, into doing kind things for yourself. It'll take you somewhere. I don't know, because that's the mystery, you guys. That is the magic. It may end up like you channel a patch of HTML code that makes your keyboard work. I mean, it'll just absolutely blow you away. In Africa, every time I go, you know, what if this is the day we go out and there are no good animal sightings? What have we done? We've marketed this as this magical thing, and what if there are no animals? And every single time I can feel the group pulling the animal toward us, and it works, and it never makes sense to my material mind. But if it's authentic and it's loving, the magic begins to happen. And then if you're talking about your genuine feelings, you may not want what your mind wants. You may want something different.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about genuine love, you may not give the advice that the people give, you know, in the seminars about how to attract $1 million bucks.
Mm-hmm.
I had a weird experience with this whole trip home from New York, where the day I got up to come home, I thought, I'm not getting to California today. I was upset about it, but in this weird way, like, I wasn't upset, but I thought I should be. And then after the bird strike and going back to the airport and then trying to switch airports and getting stuck in traffic for 6 hours and ending up at this ratty little airport hotel at a different airport, from my daughter who really, really needed to talk to me at that moment. And I realized that this is my interpretation. What I felt that morning was her energy connecting with mine and the universe arranging everything so that I could be present for her at a moment of great emotional need, when that was what I wanted in my heart to do more than I wanted to get home on time. And I could feel all the pieces, the bird even. It just felt like the whole Rubik's Cube was being moved so that all of us would have the most loving outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like a wasted day to my meat self. But to my meta self, there was nothing as important as the connection of my spirit with my daughter's spirit at that moment. Mm-hmm. Did it cost me money? Yes, it did. Did it cost me time? Yes, it did. Would I want it to be different? No.
Mm. Yeah.
Does this make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I actually had kind of an inner thought as to, I feel like I've been trying a lot, but what I genuinely want is simplicity and peace, and I've been getting that a lot more than my thinking mind have been wanting to build into my life. But I have been supported in getting that more and more, and it's like, oh, that's why it's not going as fast as I wanted to, because really what I want is simplicity and peace, and I like that I have that, and I'm appreciating it enough and its message. So,
and
yeah,
now you're getting in touch. Now you're getting in touch with yourself. I did a photo shoot, and this woman who was doing my makeup said, all I want to do is go throw pots. I'm obsessed with throwing pots. I'm like, yes, I love this. People, when they get this obsession, that's what they should do. And she said, but the problem is I talk to my friends at the pottery studio. I should just put on some earphones and just make pots. And I said, why? And she said, because then I could sell more. Could you do that? Could you do that, Five Hoys? Because I could get more money. And what would you do with more money? Well, I would feel good. And what would you do if you felt good? I would chill and relax. So what she was, her grand goal was to talk to people and relax. And for this reason, she decided she must not talk to people and relax. So very, very often what we get is our real goal, our real desire. But we're so programmed to think in terms of just money, just certain markers of status and wealth and power that we don't even notice. That. And let me tell you something. When you start coaching a lot of people who have power, wealth, and status, you realize it does not make you happy. I read the books, but I didn't know until I saw it for myself. So we get what our hearts desire. And all we have to do is remember ilk, total integrity, total owning of all feelings, even if you throw a tantrum in your car, followed by release of the outcome and love. And acts of kindness. Mm-hmm. The only acts you need to do are the acts of kindness. And then,
sounds
my
good.
Dear, the fact that you have wanted financial success, the fact that you've wanted a certain outcome for your business is already logged in the computer out there. Sorry, my dog is barking and I cannot go anywhere because I have to stay on the rotary phone. All that stuff has already been logged in the computer. When you relax and go into loving kindness, it's like pressing enter on the computer and the command goes out and it travels the every when and starts bringing stuff in. So do you feel like you have more of a sense of how to go forward with this now?
I do. I think just walking through the process and understanding the integrity piece, it really helps me understand how important it is to get in touch with those feelings that I've been trying to push down because I didn't believe I could really accept them. So that helped a lot.
Good. So try just relaxing. Now I'm going to ask Nicole a question, and I want everyone on this call to ask it of themselves at the same time. Nicole, given exactly the truth about how you feel right now, what is the absolute kindest thing you could do or say and or say to yourself for the rest of today?
Just enjoy your walk and your journaling and love today, and you'll figure it out. You just have to be living in this moment and enjoy it, and the rest will fall into place.
Yeah, and let your imagination go to wonderful things that have already happened. And the more you relax into that, the more the power goes out. I am not kidding. And it will bring the things you have logged as your desires. And when you get them, you'll realize you never really wanted them anyway. You'll be like, oh, that's a nice validation of what I thought I wanted. But now I'm so happy that I don't need it. It's just I will give it to someone else. That has happened to me more times than I can say.
Great.
Okay, so, Chris, can you hear that weird knee sound?
Yeah, I can. I'm going to mute Nicole out and see if it stops. I'm not sure what that
okay,
is.
Okay, Nicole, you are awesome. Thank you so much for being a guinea pig for the whole crew here. Oh, the power just went on in my house. Ha!
Maybe that's
there you go. We get through this whole thing, and then what happens? The morning, as I ran around thinking, I've got to get the power on, and when I finally get calmed down and talking about the way the magic really works, is it a coincidence that the power just went on? Sure. I just live in a world with a lot of coincidences.
Well, and we've all been sending stuff to you, too. I heard the for a little bit, but it seems to have stopped. Are you hearing anything, Martha?
I get a little static, but it's not too bad. If it's okay for everyone on the line, I would prefer to stay here and not switch to another phone.
I agree, yeah.
Okay, so wonderful. I just have a couple more questions. Maybe we can get a little more coaching out of it. Any questions about that first, though? If somebody wants to five-star to raise your hand, because I really want this to be clear for you guys. Integrity plus loving kindness with all your emotional states is what does the magic. And it is as simple as they say, and it's so countercultural for us.
So far, I'm not getting anybody, but
okay.
Hold on. My computer's getting slow, so I'm just going to shut down
Okay, I will read Annalise's question. She says, a smallish question, do you yourself experience what you call fugue states in your book, in the latest book, the character experiences fugue states? No, I never lost time. Wait. I did have PTSD, and people told me that I would, like, tell them about my childhood and then I wouldn't remember it later. So I did have repressed memory, and that, like, my high school buddies would tell me that we just had lunch together and had this conversation about my childhood, and I would literally not remember the conversation at all, which was, I remembered them after I started having flashbacks and stuff. But in the book, the character gets to the point where she can allow it. And once she can allow herself to be moved by the force, she no longer has what you would call fugue states because she integrates the part of herself that is operating on that frequency. In that sense, yes, I have them all the time. I just don't lose time. I definitely can go into a space, especially in meditation, where I feel like I'm in the code of reality, and all of this really is just the matrix, only instead of a hellscape behind it, there is something so infinitely beautiful and loving that it makes this world look like a dump, you know, and this world is pretty amazing. So she says
One person did raise their hand with a question.
Oh,
so
okay. Let's hear it.
But it sounds like you're in the middle of Annalise, so I don't know which way you're
going. No, she has two questions. I just answered the first one. Let's hear from someone real.
So this is Heather.
Annalise is real.
To unmute her. So Heather, hopefully you're unmuted now.
Yep. Hi there.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi. I'm great. It was just kind of more of a comment, actually, about what you were talking about, and I really had some clarity with the meet self and the meta self, because I'm not going to the meet and greet. And my meet self has been hysterical for a while. And when you were talking about your situation with your travel plans and all of that and how it ended up that you were meant to be there for your daughter, I was sort of like, it was like little bits, I was having bits of that coming through. Like there was a part of me that knew it's okay, I'm not supposed to go. And I even had some coaching with Tracy this week, and we were saying, yeah, it's just my intuition is so strong. It's just not meant to happen. But anyways, when you were talking about it, it just was like, you know, the big final, you know, it's okay. It's your meta self, and it's all good. And obviously, I have a lot of frickin' emotion to deal with, which I won't on the phone now because I am, like, a seriously emotional person. So I'll have a total hissy fit after the call, but the beauty of it is that I really, really got that I'm making the right choice, and it makes no sense, but I really...
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I really got it. And since I'm talking, I really wanted to listen to you, and I wanted to meet everyone in my cohort. So everyone in my cohort, I love you. I love seeing you on Mondays, and I will miss you, but I am not supposed to be there. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, but there's something else calling me, so.
Yeah, you don't know. This is the fun of living your life by the inner compass. It's such an adventure because you start to realize you're always being taken somewhere benevolent. Even down to the day you die, you will always be taken benevolently to a more benevolent place if you surrender and approach your life with integrity and loving kindness. And the joy of it is you don't know what's coming up, so it's always an adventure. And if you get stuck in mind, you can blind yourself to the beauty of it. It's still going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. And it's confusing to shift from what you think you want because it doesn't make any sense. I mean, I want to be there. But to twist your mind around what you think you want, but I do get that, you know, if one of my kids needed me or whatever. I mean, who knows what is the real reason.
We don't know.
But no, we don't know. But it is really hard to let go of what you think you want.
Yep, those thoughts. And that's where you want to use the Byron Katie work. It will get your sticky little fingers off those obsessive thoughts that are put there by culture. And what's important right now is not that, I heard Martha Beck say some things, and it means that, you know, everything's always going to be for the best, blah, blah, blah. That would mean absolutely nothing except it's resonating in your core. Nothing that anyone says should be accepted by you unless it resonates deeply with your core.
Yeah.
Right? And if it sets you free and it brings peace, you go with it. And no matter who says it.
Yeah,
and
well,
if it doesn't... Sorry?
Well, I was just going to say that makes total sense because combined with my thoughts about wanting to go and then, you know, other people saying, well, why wouldn't you be going? Of course, you know, all of that, those two combined can send you into a frickin' tailspin of confusion and then the meta self that's there the whole time saying, honey, you're not booking the tickets. I'm sorry. I'm physically not doing it, which makes no sense, right?
Yep.
But those two combine, external voices and then my head, it's like that's a lot.
This is why we will always have a big market, you guys, because that is what people are wrestling with. The culture has taken them away from their deepest selves. And all we have to do is point that out and let them feel the truth of whatever it is that is right for them. And then they can start to feel like someone's on their side, not telling them what to do, but telling them, you know what to do.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. You'll be okay. So as you do this for yourself, Heather, you are unlocking it for your clients. But if you don't unlock it in yourself, you cannot unlock it for a client.
Yeah.
So Annalie talks about just by being in a state, she says experiencing ourselves as one in that dimension where there's no grasping or suffering, we heal others who are us actually. Simply by the state we are in. She says, am I right? Of course you're right, dear. She says, when I believe this, I'm much less stressed about getting all the tools and techniques right. So the same with planning to go to the meet and greet or not. The same with every single thing you do in your life. When you are in that state of integrity and loving kindness, you heal yourself and other people are healed simply by your presence. And if you doubt it, go to Byron Katie's 9-day school and you will watch an actual master, like, entrain 300 people into no suffering at all. And there's no screaming and yelling and jumping around the stage like I've seen in other people. There is just a person at peace with herself.
Yeah.
So you're doing everything right, my dear.
Yeah, after our call, I'll have my hissy fit and... I'm hopefully going to be in that peaceful state, too. So anyway,
yeah, the hissy fit is great.
Yeah.
Let it all out because that's what summons the power, and then relax because that's what lets the power bring the solution to you.
Yeah. Thank you. That was really big for me.
Yay! Oh, yay! Thank you, too, sweetie. Okay, so I've got one more question here. It's from Patricia Bonnard. And... she says she's been doing the North Star map-making exercises in Steering by Starlight. And she says she's gotten mostly fleeting images and a strong sense of knowing. She's seeing repetitive images, and they appear in different contexts or sequences of images. without the specifics, there's it's hard to know how to address that. But she says, I have a couple of questions about the process and where I'm going with it. First, is this typical? Second, are all imagination, sensations, et cetera, and so on, equal? Should I not concern myself with whether the image is deep-rooted or my wandering mind? So without the, I mean, Patricia, if you're on the phone, you might want a five-star, because one thing coaching does not do is work with hypotheticals. It works with real situations. So while we're waiting for her to five-star, oh, and she says, third, is there some way to gauge if it's working or not? And if I should continue to do the exercise, say, beyond a month. First of all, I have to say I have no recollection whatsoever of the North Star map-making process. I write the books. I don't read them.
Patricia's on the phone, Martha.
Oh, good. So I'm assuming that this is about, like, dropping into your stargazer self and, like, creating a forward-reaching plan for life. Patricia, am I wrong? Tell me where I'm wrong.
No, no, that's right. It's doing that exercise.
See, I don't even remember the tools. It's okay. I can always say to the client, I don't remember. You want to remind me? Hang on, my dogs. You've been doing this, and what kinds of images and impressions are coming to you? That's, I need to sort of know the actual substance, or we can't really work with it.
Okay, so there's not a lot that I can think of right now. I've written it down every day, but very often what comes is an image of a place and mm-hmm. of me in a room, and I know what the room is like. Like it's, you know, got bamboo floors and there's green everywhere. You know, there's windows and it's all very green and there are people there and I'm teaching them or helping them. And there's also images of me speaking to people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's me speaking like on a stage and sometimes it's me just talking. And then the weirdest one is I feel sometimes like I'm on an altar and I'm speaking to people in pews.
Sorry, could you say that again? I can barely hear you, and I really want to hear that.
Okay. I feel like I'm standing on an altar, and I'm speaking
uh-huh.
to people in pews.
Huh.
And I'm
okay.
not, you know, I'm not a religious person at all.
Cool. So these may be symbols. They may be memories. They may be precognition. The only important thing... Remember, you guys, we are so socialized to use our minds for everything. And the mind is useless when it comes to anything in the future beyond logistical planning. So what happens is you're getting images and then you immediately try to solve the puzzle with your mind. Tell me where I'm wrong.
I don't. I try to
okay.
just see the images and let them come and go. And then when I write them down, I, you know, will sometimes have, you know, feelings about them, or I'll wonder, have I put them there, or, you know, are they just kind of coming up? And I really won't know the difference.
Right. And your first question is this typical? It is.
Okay.
And then your other questions, are all images and sensations equal? And third, is there some way to gauge if it's working or not? Those are very much the mind trying to understand the experience. Can
yeah.
you see that?
Yes.
So even though you're experiencing them without mind, the way we're talking about it has to go through mind. So, and language is the mind at work, and language can't actually hold feeling, it can only describe it. So it's awkward because as soon as you start to talk about something, you get one step away from the process because the process is not mind. The process is heart, body, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing is not the visual flashes you're getting, but the sensation emotionally.
Okay.
So what emotions come with these images?
I don't know. I don't know if I mean, I know sometimes I feel joy. I can't put it to each one. I'd have to go back and look at my notes. But I haven't actually focused on the emotions other than when they really feel clear. You know, then
yeah, the emotions are way more important than the images or the thoughts.
Okay.
The images and thoughts are ways that you're trying to decode an experience that at its heart is spiritual. So I say emotion, when it really, ultimately, it's deeper even than emotion. And here's the interesting thing. Spirit is also described, the way we experience spirit is usually also described with the word feeling, but it's not a physical sensation always, and it's not an emotion either. Spiritual impressions come with peace. And the deeper the peace associated with an image, a symbol, a thought, an emotional experience, the deeper the peace associated with that, the more true it is.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of trying to, you said, is there a gauge to see if it's working or not? The gauge is peace. How much peace or stillness do you feel? So there's a time when I was meditating and I hit this place of stillness for the first time. And it was a stillness where the mind finally becomes completely quiet. And it's completely uneventful. I mean, completely uneventful. Nothing's happening there. Nothing is happening there. And it is absolute bliss. I mean, it's not even bliss. It's beyond bliss. It's so much more positive than any emotion could ever be. And I just kind of went, oh, wow, that's what all the shouting's about. It's like when you're growing up, they tell you sex is good, and you're like, ooh, I wonder what that's like. And then if you ever, you know, hopefully one day you have a great sexual experience and you're like, oh! So the feeling is this sweet, sweet stillness. And nothing, once you get there, you realize the images don't really matter at all. In fact, nothing that happens to you matters as long as that you have access to that. But you are being guided to it. And sometimes the images will guide you. But the way to feel forward is not to say, okay, what does this image mean? What symbolizes it? What shows me its efficacy? Is this, you know, is the wandering mind more powerful than the flashes of images? Instead of all that stuff, after that experience I had, and for the first time that day, everything to me, everything I would look at, I would say, is that stillness? Well, that's not stillness. I'd have a thought, and I'd think, a happy thought, you know, maybe something will go right. And I'd think, oh, that's not stillness. And everything that wasn't stillness just felt fake to me. And the stillness is incredibly alive. It's not flat. It's the source of everything. It's exhilarating. It's so, nothing happens there, and everything is happening there. And words just completely fail me. Now, have you ever had any sensations similar to that?
Yeah, when I meditate. But I didn't
saw
this meditation. I saw this because there's a point where I'm supposed to, if I'm doing it right, I'm supposed to allow myself to see and feel and, you know, everything about
yeah.
Yeah, and so that's where I move away from that kind of stillness because, you know, then I'm sort of searching instead of just there.
Yeah, so don't search.
Okay.
Go to the place of stillness and watch. It's different from searching.
Okay.
If you can get directly into that incredible source that source in source in French means spring, like a spring of water. And it's in the New Testament, Jesus describes this as a spring of living water. And it feels that way to me. It actually feels like clear water bubbling up. If you can go there, then you watch everything. You watch your mind and you say, oh, that's not stillness, but that is. So I'll take the stillness. You'll feel in the body, that's not stillness, but this is. I'll take the stillness. You'll watch yourself coach. You know, oh, in that moment I wasn't still, but in this one I am. So I'll take, always go with whatever puts you in the place of, I can't even describe it. Stillness doesn't even begin. But since you already know how to go there, you have a huge advantage, and your only job is to learn to be there for longer and longer periods of time. And this is why Byron Katie said in a tape that I just listened to that is from way, way back, like the 90s when she first had her enlightenment, she said, I never have to do anything ever again. This was like 30 years ago, and she hasn't done a thing since then. She's just been in that stillness. And everything else is the force working through her, with her, by her. So that point comes, you guys. And she had a massive breakthrough. Eckhart Tolle, Byron Katie, similar thing. But we can get there by repetition and by a combination of integrity and loving kindness. It could not be simpler.
Then is there any difference between my just meditating and my doing that map making?
No. No, except that map making might be fun. There may be a moment in meditation where it feels delicious to write something down on a piece of paper that will happen in 6 months and maybe buy a plane ticket or something. But there is no difference in your state of mind. You'll always be in that stillness. If you come to the point where you're making the map really from that stargazer self, and where you're following the map and traveling from within that stargazer self, there need never be a change in state of mind or felt experience. Emotionally, there will be change. Physically, there will be change. In consciousness, which is the essence of what you are, there will be only the stillness and the observation of beauty, wonder, deliciousness as you watch the world play out around you. And that, as I said earlier, all roads lead to Rome. Every technique, every tool, every self-help book you've ever read, all of those are just taking you step by step to that place. And once you're in that place, you just remember to keep stepping back into it. And from there, miracles happen, magic happens, success happens, love happens, and you don't even care. And Patricia, before you go, I just wanted to tell you that I'm sitting here in my house, which is very small, but it has all bamboo floors and windows everywhere, and it's just green, 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 because we finally got rain. So as you're describing this image in your head, I don't know if it's the same, but it's the same thing I'm living in right now.
Oh, that's wild.
Isn't that interesting? And I'm not saying that you're, like, channeling me. I'm saying that is the fact that you told me that, and I'm here in a bamboo floor room with nothing but windows and greenery. It's a way that you and I, and the consciousness that includes us both, is reminding itself that it is creating this, and it gives itself hints in the dream that this, we are making this together. We, you and I, and everyone on the phone, we're all one consciousness creating this. So you talk about the bamboo room with the green, and I'm in the bamboo room with the green, and I tell you about it, and then everyone hears the synchronicity, and it's for all of us to know this is being designed for us, by us. It is all magic. It is all spirit. It's all love. So we have now reached 11:30. Thank you so much, or 11:30 my time. Thank you so much, Patricia, and everybody else who wrote in questions and talked on the phone today. Thank you, Chris. I had a really delicious time, and the power came back on when you all got into my energy and relaxed it. So that's it for now, and have a wonderful time going forward, and we're talking again in a month. Is that right, Chris? Tell me where I'm wrong.
I think it's about a month, yeah.
So this is not their last class, right?
No, this is call number 3. You have one more with them.
Thank goodness. All right, my darlings, go forth and prosper, and play with these concepts. And if you don't get it, don't worry, because it is going to happen to you whether you mean to or not. I promise.
Take care, everybody. Bye.
See you later. Bye-bye.